Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's July the 14th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Jim Angel, state climatologist from the Illinois State Water Survey, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast across the Midwest. And in between, Dave Dickey will join us to tell us all about the day's agricultural news. It all happens right here on this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. In the wheat pit, July contract at 366, down a dime today. September's were up to at 397.5. The July contract's, of course, expiring at the Chicago Board of Trade across the grains floor. Corn futures, July contract off the board, a penny higher at 253.5. September's at 260.75 were up a half. And December futures at 276.75 were up 3/4 for the day. March corn at 287.75, up a half for the day. July soybeans, 602, 4.5 higher. August contract up 2.75 at 603. And SEPs finished at $6.10.75 a bushel, up 3 cents. November futures up 3 as well at $6.25 for the day. Bean meal futures July contract 171.30. They were up 30. July bean oil at 27.37, up 0.25. And the August feeder cattle at 114.22.5 over at the Mercantile Exchange were off 42.5 cents today. August live cattle at $84 even, down 60. And July lean hogs off 70 at $70.12.5. From the outside market, August crude oil futures $77 even a barrel. They're up 30 cents for the day. The dollar at 86.13, up 0.3 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,739, off 106 points for the day. August gold futures at $668, and they're up $13.60 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does every Friday afternoon, Mike Zuzolo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Mike, are you with me?
I am with you.
Oh, man, I thought you were gone. What were you doing? That wasn't
Mike. I was just checking my flight into Beirut.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was my fault for a moment. It usually is, but I looked down and I thought, no, Mike's just not listening today.
Oh, no, I'm with you.
Well, good deal. Hey, I hope you're with me all the way through, because you're coming in for Commodity Week this evening, too, aren't you?
I hope the state troopers aren't out today.
Yeah, let's hope so, because we want you here for Commodity Week. Jerry Gulke is our guest this evening. Should be a fun show. If you want to listen early, you always can, off our website at WILLAG.org. So tell me about expiration of the July contracts today. How'd it go?
It was really looked hard at in the wheat, especially because of what happened yesterday in the Minneapolis complex and the July going all the way down to September futures in one fell swoop. So July wheat in Chicago had a really, really tough day, ending up down 10, as you said, at 366. And, you know, we're afraid now we're set up to test that long-term support, that trend line support in September wheat about 380. That'd be about 11 cents from today's low, Todd. And we really need to see some big demand news come back into this market, because the weekly U.S. stocks, the USDA weekly stocks of grain for wheat at least was up 10.7% versus last year. We had a really poor export sales number, 50% below the four-week average. And, you know, the USDA numbers were not any bonus either. So the trade is really in a mindset at this point. You've got no demand. You've put in enough price bullishness for the supply concerns for right now. And then there's a tinge we felt like yesterday on the Middle East that wheat is to us an international commodity. It's most affected by the dollar and by the politics, especially the Middle East, with Egypt being a key buyer and Iraq and several other Middle Eastern countries. So there was a lot going on, and the mindset at the end of the week for the wheat complex is we've got a high in place, and you're going to have to defend that mindset with very, very good demand from here on out. And they've really taken away from the mindset that we've got the lowest world carryover since 1982, if you exclude the 2003-2004 carryover number in the world right now.
So the bottom line is that the market worked very well and has rationed wheat on shorter supplies. And the question is, have they done it too well at this point, and does it really need to set back, and how far does it have to go?
Yeah, and has corn lost one of its main cylinders to drive it higher? That's the biggest thing we think of when we close the week out, is that, you can get corn up to some pretty nice price levels if you have it running on all eight cylinders, and wheat certainly is one of those cylinders.
Turn your attention to that corn market where it finished a penny higher on the day. And then if you take a look at the weeklies, a lot better than that, up, 12.5 cents this week in the July-December contract from week to week, up 10.75 for the week. Not a bad week in the corn pit.
That's exactly how we felt. We can't complain about how corn ended up for the week given, and we really appreciated the weather models coming in the afternoon, because you just can't have a strong close like today. When you have over a 400-point drop in the Dow Jones, you have a limit-down move in the Minneapolis wheat, you've got rain an hour in Iowa about 12, 13 hours ago, and so you can't really expect the corn to do a lot of jerking reaction up on a Friday close going into a weekend weather market when you've got these other things weighing you down. The thing that we noticed about this week that corn will have to play itself out in is the VIX, the volatility index that a lot of financial and commodity traders and funds look at. It hit its highest level since August of 2004, and that means that there's a new dynamic with this political situation, Todd, and our feeling would be you've got some real issues to contend with, that maybe there's going to be more risk aversion and less risk-taking if things get worse in the Middle East. And I've always heard this old aphorism, and I guess we're going to probably test it, that you buy it at the sound of a gun, meaning commodities because of inflation and gold and things like that, but what we noticed this week with corn is it had a lot of tough times with the wheat, and it had a lot of tough times with the financial markets and people pulling off money out of those assets of commodities and financials and dumping them into gold and dumping them into the dollar and the bonds. And that's going to be something that's going to be a work in progress this next couple of weeks. And then you have on top of that the weather. So it's really going to be an interesting time.
You're one of the analysts that I have divided into a couple of camps over the last 2 to 3 weeks, because there has been at least a division of those who have been friendly to bullish the corn market and those who have not been so friendly or bullish the market. And some of that is in part due to what they think is going to happen from now until harvest, but the rest of it has to do with a little farther looking out. Which camp do you settle in?
Farther looking, we're still real friendly, especially cash corn price from a value level perspective. It just goes back to at 245 December futures, before an acreage report, and as big as some of the private estimates were out there, you didn't have a lot of premium at all going into the 4th of July holiday and a lot of, value, so to speak. And so it looked like to us that for the next 10, 15, 20 days, we could take the risk because the cash corn price wasn't, it was, 15 or 17 cents lower than last year at that time. So the value level, though, has changed. We talked about how you get up above 272, in that area, then we're probably putting in weather premium. We were able to do that. Now we're juggling that right now. Do we need weather premium anymore? Because a lot of good areas got a lot of good rains. I was fortunate enough to talk to a pretty large crop insurance guy yesterday. He was actually in Des Moines and had been there for 3 days at a meeting, and he had talked to people all over the state of Iowa, and he said, it's interesting what I heard when I left, the Toledo, Ohio area from my phone calls was Iowa's burning up, and he said, maybe I'm just not used to looking at this good of corn, but he said from Des Moines all the way back east, it is looking great. The guys in Iowa that we, talked to at this meeting, they said, yeah, there's some real issues at the Minnesota-Iowa border. But the way he put it into the context that I could fit it best for the listener is you're looking at maybe a third of the state is really hurting, so to speak. The other guys are just saying, oh, my top-end yield is gone, which doesn't mean a lot when you're, farming in Iowa.
Hey, I have a question. I just pulled up the FarmDoc website because I wanted to see what the Central Illinois cash bids for corn and beans were running. And they don't update those until later in the afternoon. So we don't have today's run, but I'm looking at this, and I did not catch the break yesterday in the cash market.
Yeah,
a dime?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got the high freight rates coming in. You've got the really low river levels. And I think that Illinois River price is really hurting our cash prices in Illinois as a whole. I haven't done a lot of research on that, but it sounds like that they're looking at a lot slower movement because of weather and also because not a lot of empty barges to get your hands on. And so it sounds like that the interior is not handling that well at all, and they're not really paying up to get it down to the Gulf. They're trying to cover their additional costs.
And so the marketplace had been rewarded early in the week and last week by farmers, the cash side, any of it,
right,
in the way of the old crop. And she started to break a dime yesterday. I didn't catch that, but that's a pretty good break. And it's something that we've talked about on the air a couple of times, whether in late July and into August, whether this market would really break hard. And most had said it probably would not. Given the dime yesterday, is there a change in heart on this, or is that just a blip in the marketplace?
Yeah, we'd call that a blip, unless it gets so bad that we can't even get the lighter drafts down the Mississippi. But our feeling would be the USDA came out with weekly corn stocks of 74 million and a fraction bushels. That's up 2.3% versus last year. And we just got a fresh USDA update that we're going to barely make a billion bushel carryover, barely make a 10.7 billion bushel crop. So as far as the cash versus the future, our point would still be that the most of the downside would be in futures, not the cash market right now.
Anything else that we need to talk about before I let you go for the day?
Well, we want to watch that crude oil market because that's where, in 1979, I think in December, we went to, if you adjust for inflation in May 2006 dollar terms, we were up to $100 a barrel of crude oil, and they're starting to be talked about in New York. It's starting to be talked about in a lot of the financial circles right now, and that's something that could really, really cause some problems for us down the road, and it probably would make us have to go quicker on our hedging plans.
We appreciate you being with us, and
we'll
see you in a couple hours.
Okay.
Thanks much. Mike Zuzlow is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Kansas City, out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Jim Angel from the Illinois State Water Survey. For tonight, Jay Cyril says thunderstorms will end in Indiana and have partly cloudy skies. Lows will range from 65 in northern Illinois to 75 in southwestern Illinois. Dave Dickey's here now. He'll take a complete look at the day's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, South Korea and the U.S. are not making much headway this week in their free trade negotiations. South Korea's chief negotiator says he'll continue to push for exclusions for its rice market and preferential tariffs for South Korean goods manufactured at a joint industrial zone in North Korea. The U.S. wants more access for farm products, cars, and pharmaceuticals. The two nations suspended discussions on pharmaceuticals on Thursday because differences are too great. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist's office says locks and dams legislation, key for agriculture, is very close to being ready for Senate floor action. According to Tom Harkin, ranking Democrat on the Senate Ag Committee, he's received word that the Senate would have the opportunity to consider the Water Resources Development Act before the August recess.
We've got an agreement to bring it up, the WRDA bill. The Water Resources Development Act bill will come up next Friday. It will be laid down. We have 9 amendments. I hope that's all. And hopefully we'll get done with it probably in 2 or 3 days.
But a spokesperson for Frist, Carolyn Wayforth, says not so fast.
Right now with WRDA, the unanimous consent has not been totally agreed on yet. We're working on that. We're very close. In terms of timing, next week, it's a pretty low possibility at this point, but we're still working on that.
More than 80 senators have pushed Frist for floor action on WRDA. Analysts estimate almost $600 million in farm income losses over the next 15 years if locks and dams on the upper Mississippi are not upgraded. A meteorologist with the North American Plant Disease Forecast Center says thus far this growing season, weather has helped keep the potential spread of soybean rust in check. Thomas Kiever says just like a year ago, weather patterns have kept the disease from spreading.
Basically, we've been working with the same counties that have rust reported. All these sources have been on kudzu for the most part until recent times. They've been very weak and isolated in nature. The new reports that we've been getting in, for instance, we had a report from Decatur County, Georgia, in the far southwestern part of the state on the soybean sentinel plots there. That was this past week. But again, a very weak, isolated infection, and that particular county is surrounded on three sides with other nearby counties where they've had other weak infections of kudzu with soybean rust. So it's not a big surprise that we found a county in that general area where we had a new development of soybean rust. But again, that infection was very much like the others, very weak and isolated.
With little in the way of steering wind currents to carry the rust spores toward the Midwest, Kiever says the disease has been primarily limited to a small area in the southern part of Louisiana.
That's been kind of an interesting situation. That particular area of south central Louisiana is one of the few areas that's had some plentiful rains over the past couple of weeks to perhaps a month. So it's not a big surprise that those infections in those two counties, Lafayette and Iberia, have shown some disease development there. But a lot of other places surrounding that, the weather's remained very unfavorable. And in this typical summertime pattern that we're going to be in here for at least the next week or so, you can expect more in the way of hit-and-miss kinds of precipitation events and nothing of an organized nature.
Remember, you can keep track of soybean rust at www.sbrusa.net. Officials in Canada confirmed Thursday that a 50-month-old Jersey cow from Alberta tested positive for mad cow disease, the nation's seventh case. The cow was born and died on the same farm. Investigators are tracing other cattle born on the premises within a year before and after the birth of the affected animal. And USDA says it's working on a proposed rule that would allow beef imports from countries, irregardless of the number of cases of BSE reported in those countries. Officials at the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service say the idea is to base trade more on a nation's risk mitigation strategy than the number of mad cow cases. Any such rule would likely not be submitted for public comment until next year, after USDA completes work on a similar proposed minimal risk rule for older Canadian cattle. Meanwhile, USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service says it will hold a technical meeting later this month in Washington, D.C. to present and receive comments on an updated risk assessment for BSE. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. By the way, our guest this week will be Jerry Golke of Strategic Marketing Services. He's out of Northern Illinois. Jerry Golke, always a great guest. You can hear him tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. or visit our website after about 6 o'clock tonight. And you can pick it up early right there as an MP3 file, or better yet, sign up for the podcast and it'll be delivered directly to your computer. We try to make things as easy as possible for you, the user, to get hold of the information you want right here on WILL AM 580. It is your agricultural information advantage. Dave Dickey and I, by the way, will be gone over the next couple of weeks. I leave for the Ukraine on a mission with Extension, and Dave Dickey going on mission work next week in the southern U.S. with the Katrina victims. He'll be traveling with a youth group. During that time, the folks here at WILL, the staff, will fill in for us quite ably, I might say, and the folks at the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences on my side of campus will help out with some of the web work. We thank them very much for all of their efforts.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Bruce is the general manager of the Co-op 7 East Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the cash market this week and how things have changed in your area.
Well, we had some upticks on the board. Flat price went up, and we had rain. Probably the key is the third. We had rain. So cash movement, I would say, picked up dramatically this week compared to the last few weeks.
Farmers happy with cash prices at this point?
Really, I would say in general, yes. They feel more comfortable in cutting loose with some. We've seen scale upselling. Those days when we take a little dip back or drop down, not much happens. But each step up looks like it brings out kind of another tier of selling, both old crop and new crop. I think there is still some old crop corn out there in the bins that's needing to move.
Do you think that they've factored in at this point their increased cost for production and recognize the difference in their profit margins despite the higher price of corn?
I would say in part that's something that everyone has to look at. And sometimes that's more of an end of the year shock. You know, we know conceptually how much prices are, but you can kind of get lulled to sleep by old rules of thumb of, you know, how many dollars per acre is a good sale. And we've been preaching dollars per acre for a long time, not price per bushel. But those numbers are a moving target on us, especially the last couple of years.
Yeah, I was thinking about the increased energy cost and what it cost to dry that crop down, what it cost actually just to put it in the ground and store it. Interest rates are a bit higher, and the profit margins, despite the higher price on the cash side, might not be as good as most were hoping.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the case. You know, you look at the flat price and think that's not bad, but then you look at what your costs are on the flip side.
I suppose the point is that you still need to think about marketing quite a bit as opposed to going, hey, that price for corn on the cash side looks pretty good.
You know, the old, what, $400 an acre is being a slam dunk sell might not be there right now.
Indeed, it might not. Tell me, in your area, how much rainfall did you get, and how much do you think it helped the crop?
I think it helped quite a bit. We were in the 1.8 to 2.25, 2.5-inch rains. Just south of us at Rantoul, probably picked up another inch or two over the course of the week. We were showing some stress, but the corn was just starting to tassel, the extreme early stuff just starting to pollinate. So the rain helped quite a bit. There was some, you know, some corn further south, further west that was further along and might have had a tad bit more stress, although they did catch some additional rains. Talked to some family in the western Illinois area around Quincy, and they have had quarter to a half inch out of this whole thing and are tasseling and pollinating. So that corn is very stressed.
And finally, before I let you go today, any updates that you might have for us on the look that you guys are taking at putting an ethanol production facility in?
Things are progressing there, but I really can't say anything at this point.
Okay, thanks much, Bruce. Bruce Bostard is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. In about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Jim Angel. I'm Todd Gleason. Your newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Funeral services were held today at a funeral home in Savoy for Jeremiah and Sue Hay. The couple were found murdered at their Southwest Champaign home last week. Meanwhile, Champaign Deputy Police Chief Troy Daniels says their investigation indicates that the Hays likely knew their killer. He says due to the nature of the crime, he does not believe the public is in immediate danger. A $25,000 reward has been offered for any evidence leading to a conviction in the case. A defense lawyer says a 17-year veteran of the Bloomington Police Department is innocent of the 4 sexual assaults he's now accused of committing. A McLean County judge today set bond at $2 million for Sergeant Jeff Pilo. He's charged with 2 counts of home invasion and 4 counts of aggravated criminal sexual assault. Defense attorney Steve Skelton questioned prosecutors' contentions that the two victims had identified Pelo in a photographic lineup. Pelo was found last month outside a woman's house late at night wearing dark clothing. Governor Mitch Daniels says that higher salaries for first-year Indiana State Troopers are helping to attract the largest recruitment class ever. State police will select 160 recruits from a pool of more than 3,000 applicants. A 13-year-old Michigan girl who ran off with an Indiana man she met online has been sentenced to probation. Authorities say the girl posted provocative pictures on MySpace.com. The man thought she was an adult. He will not be charged. The central Illinois town of Chatham, southwest of Champaign, tomorrow will host the Illinois Championship Cow Chip Throw. Competitors will get two chips for $5, with all the money going to a scholarship fund at Glenwood High School. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Did you say a scholarship fund?
I'm sure I didn't, Todd.
Well, I'm sure you didn't either, but it sounds like a good thing that could have happened. Anyway, thanks much, Jim. We appreciate you doing the news this afternoon. Speaking of Jims, we have another one online with us to take a look at the agricultural weather on a Friday afternoon. That Jim Angel, he's the state climatologist here at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Ooh, is it going to be a hot one this week, next week? What are we looking for?
That's right. It's going to be very hot this next week. We're looking at highs in the mid-90s, which is, I mean, we've had a couple of warm days here and there, but this is going to be our first significant stretch of really hot weather. And thanks to all the rains that we've got, it's going to be pretty much assured that we're going to have high humidity as well. So air temperatures will probably be in the mid-90s. I imagine the heat index is going to be well over 100 at this point.
And that will be really ugly. And how soon does all of that come in?
Well, it could come start to come in tomorrow and really get going by Sunday, I think. And the forecast is for the next several days beyond that is calling for highs in the mid-90s in the general area. So it's going to be around for a while, so I have to just take it.
Is that the case all the way across the Midwest, or do temperatures get warmer as you go further to the west?
Well, that's the case, is that it has been getting hotter to our west, and they've been in the throes of drought out there. In fact, things have been getting worse in Minnesota and Iowa and parts of Iowa. So they've been struggling with hot temperatures already out there, so that's just a continuation of that.
Tell me about the last week in climate and how we fared in terms of rainfall. Was it above average? I assume that it was, but what did it look like?
That's right. It was overall statewide, it was above average. We had two major areas with good rains, band through the central part of the state. They got about 2 to 4 inches from pretty much south of Quincy all the way through Champaign-Urbana, and then another one in southern Illinois, south of I-64, got about 2 to 6 inches of rain. So those two areas are in great shape. Those are very timely rains. We do still have some dry spots, especially east of St. Louis, and kind of over from Quincy to Peoria to the Quad Cities area has been missing out on a lot of this rain. So I'm sure the crops over there are feeling the effects of this.
That would be year two for them.
That's right, exactly, especially in around the Peoria area. They were hard hit last year.
Expectations for rainfall in those areas anytime soon?
Well, not really. I think we're in this next week. We're going to see just hot and humid weather. Probably maybe a few thunderstorms pop up here and there, but nothing widespread at this point.
We appreciate you being with us today, Jim.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Jim Angel is a state climatologist here at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign County. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. when Jerry Golke will be our guest on AM 580's Commodity Week. You can always hear that program on our website beginning at about 6 o'clock this evening. It'll be posted right there at willag.org. You'll hear me next week and the following week, but of course that'll be off CD as I'm away in Ukraine. I'm looking forward to that trip and returning safely to be on the air right here on, July the 31st, which is a Monday.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Until we talk again, I'm Todd Gleason. You have a safe week and a great summer.